Welcome today to our interview series with Outstanding Professionals. We are conducting an exclusive interview with Marcus Schmidt, International Business and Technology Authority, Senior Marketing Manager and Community Manager, Windows Business Group. Marcus, thank you for coming in today to share your deep insights with the audience.
You're welcome, Stephen. It's great to be with you.
Marcus, can you provide a profile of your current roles and challenges?
Sure. My current role is a senior marketing manager on the Windows team here at Microsoft, and as part of that, one of my responsibilities is a community manager for Windows and Windows Live. And what that really means is that I spend a lot of time working with folks outside of the company and understand more about their challenges in using our products, but also encourage those folks outside of the company to share their ideas and share their tips and their stories about how they use our technology, really hoping that set of community member content inspires other folks around the world to try new things with Windows, if that's Windows the operating system or Windows Live. And so probably the biggest challenge I have is just keeping in touch with all of the different members in the Windows community, understanding what's on their mind, helping them really find a place to tell their stories, share their tips and tricks, and let that message get spread as far and as wide as we possibly can.
Well, Marcus, you know, you have this incredible history of success, and, you know, you're sort of like a genius in computing. So how did you get into computing?
Well, genius may be a tad of an overstatement, but I definitely have been in computing for quite some time. I actually got my first computer when I was 12 years old. It was an old Commodore VIC-20. I don't know if any of your listeners actually even remember back to those days, but you hooked it up to your TV, and it had 22 characters across the screen, and you stored your data on cassette drives, and it was quite the situation. So I was kind of bitten by the computing bug very, very early on, and it was fortunately for me, it was a hobby that then turned into a profession. So it's one of those, if you can ever find something that you really love to do and actually turn it into your regular work, that's a great thing.
Well, again, that's amazing history you shared with us. VIC-20, it goes back a while.
It does.
So how is Microsoft using social media to listen to and talk with the community?
Well, we actually use a variety of different social media resources. We start with looking outside of the Microsoft domains, if you will, so not really necessarily on Microsoft.com to begin with. We use things like Facebook and Twitter and just doing general web searches and getting alerts on different things that are happening across the web. We have some social media monitoring software that we use from a company here in Seattle called Visible Technologies. The product is called TrueCast, and it really acts as a specialized almost search engine where it searches the blogosphere and searches the social media world and then surfaces information that we need to be paying attention to and engaging in potentially. So we start outside of the four walls, if you will, of the Microsoft web properties, and then we eventually try to work with our community members on the Microsoft properties. So we have discussion forums and community areas inside of Microsoft.com where we listen to our community members directly, and they become really registered members of the community working on Microsoft.com.
Well, that's really interesting. So that means you'll have some really, really great insights to share. So what lessons have you learned about social media?
Well, I think the biggest lesson learned here is that there's always going to be a set of people that really don't like your stuff and really want to engage in heated discussions. And it's probably better to not necessarily even engage in those discussions with them, because people don't necessarily ever win. It's like you have two diametrically opposed opinions. And if you jump into those social media discussions, you end up just kind of fanning the flames. And then there's a set of people that really, really like your products and really like what they can do with them. And those are great to just engage with and thank those folks for being excited about what your products offer and what they can do. But really the vast majority of what we see in social media are people that are just asking questions and just want to find out more information about how they can do something. And that's really the place where we try to engage most. If someone just says, you know, I'm really interested in how I can share my digital photography pictures with my friends and family all around the country, well, that's just a question someone wants to know more about how they can do that. We could jump in and give them a few pointers on how they can do that. And that's really, I think, what we've learned most about social media is there's a ton of people out there that need information, and social media is a great way to get them that information.
So I know that there's something like, what, 500 million people who use Windows Live and 180 million users of Windows Live Spaces. And that community is just growing bigger and bigger. Do you have any other data?
Well, you're exactly right. There are about 500 million people using Windows Live in the world today. The vast majority of those are using Hotmail as an email platform or Windows Live Messenger to do instant messaging back and forth. There are a set that use Windows Live Spaces as a way of blogging and a way of having a personalized website on, on the internet. But now we're seeing a lot more use of Windows Live really as a social media platform where people are using it to connect up with their friends and family, and they're able to wire in other social media feeds, if you will, from other places like Flickr, for instance, or Twitter, or we announced at CES that we're also going to be integrating with Facebook. So people are now starting to look at Windows Live as a place to have all of that come together and have one kind of view of everybody that they work with or everybody that they know and understand what's going on there. The other data point outside of Windows Live and into the broader world of Windows is that we have about 1 billion people all around the world using Windows PCs. So that's a gigantic community of individuals that if we can just tap into some of the expertise that community has and some of the stories that they have about how they use the products, we think that can be really inspirational and really educational for everybody else using Windows PCs as well.
Well, that's a pretty large number. I know that there's about 1.5 billion internet users and you have 1 billion people using Windows technology. That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, some of them date way back into sort of the early versions of Windows, so our challenge really is to tell them about what the newer versions of Windows offer and try to encourage some of those 1 billion people to upgrade to some of the newer and better versions.
So what are the key strategies and tactics then for building online communities?
Well, the first one really starts with looking at existing communities that are out there and trying to find passionate and interested community members from those existing communities. So, Stephen, I know you're a member of our MVP community, and that was really one of the first places we started as we were building our online communities, is reaching out to our MVPs, or most valuable professionals, and seeing if those most valuable professionals were interested in joining some other online community efforts that we had going on. And then beyond that, we found the next really big place to start finding those passionate and interested customers is just through blog posts. We have a lot of people that read our blog posts about Windows Live and about Windows. So being able to put some information on those blog posts and say, hey, we're interested in building an online community. If you're passionate and interested in sharing your expertise and your knowledge with other people, here's an online community that you can join. And we've been really excited and gratified to see the number of people that have come in that way.
So I guess I'll just provide a bit of background for the listeners who haven't heard of the MVP program or may not have heard of it. Those are most valuable professionals. And it's a recognition program for people who have made outstanding contributions to technology and to the community. And they're really an independent group of experts. And I guess if you look at the total world population of about 6.73 billion right now, about one out of 1.7 million becomes an MVP. And they're literally scattered throughout the world, and there's several thousand of them. So they're very passionate about contribution and helping others and kind of spreading the word of best practices and how to just make the best use of technologies.
They've been definitely one of our kind of cornerstones of community at Microsoft for a long time, and they really help out, and you know, being one, help out across the board on online. Sometimes they do a lot of work even offline and helping local user groups and things like that. So it's great that we have that set of outside experts, and it's really great that you're one of them.
You know, we see the rapid uptake of Twitter and so on. So how does this translate into being a business tool?
What we found with Twitter is that it's really, first and foremost, starts as a great way to listen and understand what the current buzz is about any one given topic. So I challenge your listeners to go out, anything that happens to pop into their mind, go to search.twitter.com and key that in, and you'd be surprised at all the conversations that are happening around Twitter on any given topic at any given day. There's all the stories that have gone around about how, you know, news is breaking first on Twitter. Things like, when the attacks happened in Mumbai, or when the airplane landed in the Hudson in New York City, all of that stuff kind of broke first on Twitter, including even pictures of things and stuff like that. So I think the first thing for Twitter is using it as a way to listen and understand what the current conversations are among the millions and millions of people out there using Twitter. And the second part then is engaging appropriately on some of those conversations. So again, it kind of goes back to the discussion I had about, you know, the broad group of people in social media that are basically just looking for information. And we're finding a lot of people posing those questions for information on Twitter. So being able to listen and find those folks and then use, in Twitter speak, what's called an at reply, where you can actually reply directly to them, but still seen by everybody on Twitter, that really helps show that you're listening, you're paying attention to what people are asking about, and then you're engaging. And then I think the third thing related to Twitter, and specifically as a business tool, is it does become a way to kind of get information out into a broad group of people. So maybe not everybody's going to come and read your blog, and maybe not everybody's going to come and see a post that some community member did about some interesting piece of technology. But being able to take that and then broadcast it out through Twitter really helps a lot of people find out more information about things that they might not have heard about in the first place.
Well, that's really interesting. So it really provides a valuable tool, and I guess you see it now used by politicians and businesses and scientists. I mean, just building worldwide. So this kind of sort of goes further into Windows Live now specifically. How can Windows Live be used by users and businesses?
Well, Windows Live is fundamentally a consumer-oriented offering, so we don't see it broadly used by businesses at all yet. It's really designed to be something that you as a consumer or your friends, your family could use, and it really cuts across a couple key areas. One is communication, so we view it as a key set of products and services for communicating and staying in touch with your friends and family, be that email or instant messaging or, you know, writing a blog and having people look at your blog and comment on your blog, those kind of things. So communication is a key one. And then a specific offshoot of communication is really sharing information. So sharing content like digital photography or movies or your thoughts again on a blog, for instance. So it really is a communication and sharing set of tools. And now with the integration with some of these other social media products like, again, Flickr and Twitter and soon to be Facebook, it becomes a place to stay in touch with all your friends and family regardless of the type of service or the type of social media they might be engaged in. So that's the biggest way we see it being used today, is really as a communication and sharing tool and then kind of as a centralized place to get keep in touch with everybody's social media activity.
Sounds like a great opportunity really for consumers, but I actually see some opportunities for businesses as well. So I guess that's my business hat. You know, I'm always wearing it.
Yeah, there could be. I mean, I think it's one of those things that eventually you could see businesses using it as a way of getting a variety of their customers online together, maybe in a discussion group. There's a groups product inside Windows Live, and maybe they want to have a private discussion group for some of their customers, or potentially they might want to use, you know, if they're a small business, use things like Windows Live Mail as their fundamental email system versus using something like Outlook. So yeah, I think there's some opportunities there.
So, you know, you have this great platform, Windows Live, and there's this other sort of movement about cloud computing. Can you actually talk about what cloud computing is versus Windows Live, and is, you know, what sort of the connection, or is there, or will there be in the future?
Well, I think cloud computing, or some people call it software as a service, where it's really software that lives up in the internet and you subscribe to it and you use the software that's up in the internet, is one of the elements of the Windows Live strategy. We actually slightly change it to, instead of software as a service, just talk about software plus services. So we still think that there's a lot of great capability inside a Windows PC and a lot of opportunity to put software on that Windows Live, on that Windows PC to do things like, for instance, photo editing and that kind of stuff, or managing your email when you're offline and disconnected on an airplane, something like that. But then that those services that are in the cloud work hand in hand with the software that you install on your PC. So you kind of get the best of both worlds. You get all the performance and all the capability and all the, you know, the robust offline capability of a Windows PC and the software that's on that. Plus you get the portability and the scalability of all the services that would be up in the cloud.
Yeah, you know, looking at your answer, I guess then that kind of ties in then between Windows 7, this sort of new upcoming operating system, and there's sort of the connection between Windows 7 and Windows Live, and maybe even connection to Windows Server 2008.
Yeah, the connection between Windows 7 and Windows Live is an interesting one. You really look at Windows 7 as being our next generation client operating system, basically designed to run your your Windows PC. And then what Windows Live does is really extends and completes your Windows experience. So it, you know, adds in things like sophisticated photo tools, sophisticated movie maker tools, your email client, some of those kinds of things, and then connects those experiences out onto the internet with things like Windows Live Spaces and your Windows Live profile and Windows Live photo sharing on the web. So really they are very mutually beneficial products, Windows 7 being extended by Windows Live. And then Windows Server, obviously, is the server-side version of the operating system that you could deploy in a business and act as your basically multifunction server, using everything from, you know, simple file and print services all the way up to being an application server, hosting things like SharePoint, hosting things like Exchange if you want to have email inside your business. So really, as you get to out of the consumer realm and into the business realm, that's where Windows Server 2008 really becomes a nice complement to what you do with Windows 7 on your desktop PC.
So you talked earlier about software plus services. So Windows 7 and Windows Live is just that really perfect combination of the two, where you're kind of taking the most and the best out of both.
Exactly. It is one of the things where you take that power of the Windows PC, and Windows 7 really helps tune that and make that so much better and so much faster and more reliable and more secure. And even a lot of tasks that you do on your Windows PC easier with Windows 7. And then you extend it with some additional software from Windows Live, and then the set of services on the web that Windows Live provides.
So we already talked about this already, but why move to Windows 7?
Well, I think it is it's just a better operating system in terms of speed, in terms of reliability, and then also in terms of just making the little things that you want to get done easier. So one of the things I like a lot about Windows 7, I've been running it on my laptop here at work for a while, is the new taskbar. It allows me to jump to any of the applications I want to really quickly, and even jump to the documents and the files that I use within those applications really quickly. And it's just a cleaner, easier way of working than the taskbar that you'd see in Windows Vista or Windows XP. So that's just been one thing, in addition just to the speed and the reliability, even in this beta version that I'm running, has been really phenomenal.
You know, I'm also hearing that some people are moving from XP into Windows 7 and have already played around with it, and they said, gee, what a great user experience, even on machines that they thought where it wouldn't run, but they're actually finding it runs really well. Do you have any further comments on that?
I do think it really... That was one of the basic things that we tried to do with Windows 7, is really tune it and make sure it really, you know, exacted the most performance out of the hardware that it was on. And you're exactly right. I put Windows 7 on one of my old laptops, about a 3-4-year-old laptop, and it was like it got a new lease on life. It was much more performant, much more snappy in terms of booting up, shutting down. All the applications seemed to perform a lot better. So it is something where, you know, you should be able to use some of the, you know, modern hardware purchased in the last few years, and just by upgrading to Windows 7, see better performance over what you were seeing before.
You know, you've been in a senior management role for some time, and you have this great opportunity to talk to many people, talk to your product teams, researchers, and so on. So again, you have this kind of key position where you can provide your predictions of future IT business and consumer trends and their implications and opportunities. Can you share your insights here?
Well, I tend to focus mostly on consumers now, and not so much on business or IT, but the consumer trends that I'm seeing are definitely around more and more consumers getting more and more involved into social media. I think if you look back a few years back, not very many people were blogging, certainly not very many people were Twittering or tweeting, using the proper verb there. There were some people on Facebook, but that really wasn't so predominant either. So now if you look today, you know, most of your friends and family are on Facebook. Some are starting to tweet with Twitter. Some folks are getting involved in other social media things as well. So I think that's going to become, a trend you're going to see increasing and increasing as more people start to get their social lives kind of wired into the internet and use that as a way to connect with their friends and family. The other consumer trend that I'm going to see, I think, a lot more is this idea of crowdsourcing, where you start to ask broad groups of people, and this is a little bit goes hand in glove with the social media trend, where you ask large groups of people on their opinions on things and then use that as a way to make decisions. So rather than just a few people in a room in some business somewhere, or maybe a small focus group, you could, you know, literally tap into the collective opinions and collective intelligence of millions of people and use that as a way to help shape opinions and shape the direction of product design, support offerings, all sorts of different things. So I think that crowdsourcing trend is going to be another one that we see coming up on the consumer side.
Well, that crowdsourcing trend actually probably ties into what we call predictive markets and having those kind of vehicles where you can make those kind of predictions and shape products. And I think Dell has something called IdeaStorm, where they...
Yeah, exactly. That's a classic example of crowdsourcing where one person puts some idea into Dell's IdeaStorm, and then the rest of Dell IdeaStorm users take a look at that and say, wow, that's an awesome idea, and they start actually voting on it and kind of moving it up the chain, so to speak, so it eventually gets hopefully to the top of the list of suggestions. And then what Dell does a really good job of is they look at those, decide how they can maybe implement some of those suggestions, and then provide that feedback back to the folks that originally came up with the idea and voted on the idea, so they know that, you know, we were hearing your feedback, we responded, and this is what we responded with.
And I guess your U.S. President, Obama, actually drives out to his grassroots to get input as well. So you're sort of seeing it across all spectrums, including in the political arena. And I guess even from a demographic standpoint, in terms of the active use of social media, you know, my mother's 89, and last year she asked for a laptop so she could do instant messaging and text messaging. I was just blown away because she never touched a computer before. So,
see, there's your classic example right there. I think that trend is going to become pervasive, and it may just be folks that casually use it or spend more time, you know, reading content and kind of hanging out in social media places rather than necessarily authoring a bunch of content. But I think the trend is certainly one that's here to stay.
So what are your top specific recommended resources and why?
Well, I think the first thing to do is just to start finding a few key people to follow on Twitter and make sure you tap into their expertise. One is Jeremiah. He's a analyst on Forrester that is really a specialist in social media. He's one of the guys that I follow a lot. There's some other ones. You could look at different people that are following other folks and try to find the few that you might want to follow. Read a few blogs. There's some great books out there on social media. A good one, again, by a couple of Forrester analysts is called Groundswell. That's a good one to read, is just kind of get started on understanding what's going on in the social media world. But I think the biggest thing is really to start with listening. If you do want to get involved in social media and you want to get involved on understanding what your customers are saying out there, just do simple things like Twitter searches, do simple things like alerts you could do inside Google or live search to get information on what people are talking about. And that helps you kind of get a flavor for what's going on within the social media world.
Marcus, can you repeat the name of that first analyst that you mentioned?
Jeremiah Owang. It's Jeremiah and then Owyang, I believe.
Sounds good. So, you know, our listeners can have a look and follow your recommendations, and they're great tips. Can you also now provide commentary of topics of your choosing? And usually the way I shape this is I say, you know, if you were doing this interview, what questions would you ask, and then what would be your answers?
Well, Stephen, one of the things I know that you're passionate about is this semantic web thing. And when you were out here at the MVP Summit recently, we talked a lot about that. I'd be interested in your thoughts on how you see that revolutionizing things like, the ways consumers use the internet and the way social media might work on the internet, and even some feedback for us as we consider, you know, what we need to do with Windows 7 and Windows Live going forward.
And your next question?
My next question would probably be, let's see, I'd be interested in anybody's social media story that would be, you know, something where they were kind of amazed and shocked by social media. Maybe it was someone that they, you know, knew 20 years ago and they'd lost touch with, and all of a sudden they popped up on Facebook, or maybe it's something where they were on Twitter and all of a sudden heard something new and different that they hadn't heard anywhere else, and that was the only place they found it. So that would be another interesting question I would pose is, you know, your favorite, most kind of amazing moment on social media.
Well, getting back to your first question, I'm keynoting three academic conferences. We'll be talking a bit about that. So what I'll do is I'll do a follow-up podcast specifically in that area.
Great. I know that there's a lot of folks that are interested in your thoughts there. Certainly, you're spending a lot of time thinking out in that future area, which a lot of us can use your expertise and your thoughts on.
You know, you get around a lot and you're talking to a lot of great minds out there. You know, do you have any stories to tell?
Well, I think a couple of my most interesting stories have to do with some community members that I ran across in the process of building our online community, one of whom is a 64-year-old grandmother in the UK, and she goes online. Her online handle is Technogran, as in grandmother. And what's very interesting about Technogran is she is amazing at really taking relatively complicated multi-step things and breaking them down and making them easy for other people to understand. And she spends a lot of time doing really, really great work on pulling together interesting how-to tips and interesting stories that she can share with other folks. And like you were saying about your mother, your grandmother, I can't remember which one, if folks that are grandmothers can start to do this kind of thing, it really shows that it's approachable and easily used by a whole host of different people. So that was one of my most interesting stories lately. Another one is a gentleman that is in Pennsylvania here in the United States. He's about 20 years old. He works in a retail environment. He spends a lot of time talking with customers about technology and about how they can use technology, you know, to implement in their home use. And he's so very interested in Microsoft technology that he wants to come to work for us eventually. So he and I have been chatting back and forth. I've been trying to help him find places where he might be able to, you know, continue to grow his experience, grow his education, and then hopefully ultimately come to work for Microsoft. As we announced recently, we're actually going to be expanding and starting to do some of our own retail stores. So as those retail stores come online and we figure out where those are going to be, hopefully this gentleman that I've been chatting with in Pennsylvania, we can find him an opportunity to continue to help customers but work at Microsoft at the same time.
You know, Marcus, I could probably put you on the line here. Do you have any other stories to share?
Well, let's see, other stories. I just got back from a conference down in the broader Bay Area, actually down in the wine country in San Francisco. This is in Sonoma, actually. And there were some really, really interesting stories that came out of that in terms of the way companies today are starting to embrace social media and embrace community. And one of the things we talked about a lot at that conference was, you know, proving the value, quote-unquote, of social media and proving the value of online communities. And I thought that one of the most interesting stories that I heard down there was someone said, well, you know, I really have never had to prove the value, but I know that if we took it away, we'd immediately know what the value is. So it was one of those things where you would know it if it was gone versus actually quantifying the value going in. So I thought that was an interesting perspective, kind of, you build this up and you got a community of passionate customers and you're doing a lot of social media work, and it would be, if you took it away, you wouldn't know what to do, right? You'd be lost without those connections. So that was a fascinating take on the whole concept of proving value of community and proving value of social media.
You know, Marcus, you provided some really interesting insights and you have such clarity when you discuss various items. Would you be willing to do another interview?
I'd certainly be willing to do one. Thank you very much, Stephen, for the opportunity, and I've enjoyed chatting with you now, and I'd be super happy to chat with you anytime in the future.
Well, Marcus, that's great. So, you know, we're going to continue to follow your significant contributions, and we thank you for sharing your time, wisdom, and accumulated deep insights with our audience. Well, this concludes our exclusive interview with Marcus Schmidt, International Business and Technology Authority, Senior Marketing Manager and Community Manager, Windows Business Group.